Senator Bernie Sanders joins us right now from Burlington, Vermont, 2016 presidential candidate for the Democratic nomination. Senator from Vermont, author of Our Revolution, A Future to Believe In. Senator Sanders, welcome back to On Point. Thank you very much for being here.
Great to be with you, Tom.
What's your advice to Congress on how to greet or confront President Donald Trump to Democrats in Congress?
Well, it's not an advice to Congress. It's an advice to the American people, and I think we need to organize in a way that we have never organized before. I think we need to bring working people all across this country, black, white, Latino, Asian American, Native American, together to tell Mr. Trump that we will not tolerate the formation of an oligarchy in this country. We're not going to allow our country to be divided. We're going to expose his hypocrisy. Mr. Trump is the guy who got votes by telling the American people that he is the only Republican candidate who will oppose cuts to Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid. He wants to raise the minimum wage, that he wants to bring back a Glass-Steagall legislation and tackle Wall Street. He wants to lower the cost of prescription drugs. We're going to hold him accountable on every one of those issues, and we're going to expose his hypocrisy. But the main thing is well beyond press conferences and op-eds. The main thing is to educate and organize, to bring millions of people together around a progressive agenda. An agenda, by the way, Tom, and I want everybody to remember this. The American people support, by and large, with a few exceptions, a progressive agenda. They want to raise the minimum wage to a living wage. They want pay equity for women. They want to rebuild our infrastructure. They want real criminal justice reform, real immigration reform. Most people want to deal with climate change. So on all of the issues, virtually all of the issues, we have the American people on our side, not giving tax breaks to billionaires, not producing more oil and fossil fuel, and we have got to mobilize our people and bring them together.
You want to call out that grassroots movement, and I get that. You talked about it all through your campaign, but right after Donald Trump's victory, you put out a statement and said, I and other progressives are prepared to work with him. Are you still?
No, that's not what the statement said.
Well, I'm reading it here.
What the statement said, of course, is that there are issues that, of course, we're going to work with. Our infrastructure is crumbling. We need to create millions of jobs, rebuilding our roads and our bridges and our water systems and our wastewater plants, our broadband. And if Trump comes up with a reasonable proposal, the proposal that he has come up with now is not a reasonable proposal. He talks a lot about infrastructure, but he wants to give huge tax breaks to large corporations. That is not acceptable. But if we can work out a proposal which rebuilds our infrastructure, of course, that's something that we should work together on. Trade, obviously, has made it the cornerstone of his campaign, that our trade policies have failed. Well, I voted against all of these disastrous trade agreements. I want to see new trade agreements. He is already off on the wrong step in terms of what he did with United Technologies in Indiana, was to give $7 million in tax breaks to keep 1,000 jobs there. We can do better than that.
Yeah.
But should we work together on new trade policies to encourage corporations to invest in America, not just in China? Yeah, we should.
What about Republican-style opposition? I mean, back in 2010, when they got their majority back in the House, John Boehner, even before he formally became Speaker, was saying about the Obama agenda, we're going to do everything, and I mean everything we can, to kill it, stop it, slow it down, whatever we can. That was the Republican approach there. Boehner articulating it. Are you saying that's wrong for Democrats to just
I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying that on virtually every issue, we've got to be in vigorous opposition. For example, what I worry very much about is his disastrous ideas with regarding immigration. And we have got to mobilize people and use the resources that we have in the Congress to stop those ugly attacks against immigrants, against Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has a racist past in terms of the so-called Bertha movement. We cannot compromise one inch in terms of bigotry. In my view, we can't compromise one inch in terms of climate change. But we got to figure out how we go forward, because the planet is at stake on democracy. I'll tell you, one of the areas doesn't get talked about a lot. When Trump sends out a tweet two weeks ago,
yep,
saying that he thinks he would have won the popular vote if millions of people had not voted illegally, that is totally delusional and total nonsense. But what the message that he is sending out is that Republican governors have got to work on voter suppression. And I've got to worry about Citizens United and even going further, letting billionaires buy elections. So, of course, we've got to do everything we can to defeat those proposals.
Bernie Sanders, take it upstream to the cabinet nominees who will be coming before the Senate. What do you see so far? Where are you prepared to vote yes? Where are you ready to vote no? How's it look?
Well, you got to look at each one of them, but I don't think that I've seen anybody here who comes close to being qualified to lead a major agency. The idea that you're having a guy who's appointed, nominated to be head of the EPA, who doesn't believe in environmental protection, a guy who's nominated to be head of the Department of Labor, doesn't believe in organized labor, a guy who's nominated to be Secretary of State, who, you know, is the head of one of the largest oil companies in the world. I mean, these are really disastrous nominations, and, you know, I don't see any way that I'm going to be supporting any of them.
Do you think that will make any difference? I mean, Republicans have got the majority. Do you see that the cabinet...
Well, I think depending on the nomination, Tom, I think they're, you know, and politics is strange, and sometimes mm-hmm. you're strange bedfellows. You have some very right-wing Republicans who may have their objections to a particular nominee that might be different than my objections, but if it adds up to 51 votes, that person will not get nominated.
What about the legitimacy question itself? If you take it all the way back to what is now the CIA saying Russia intervened, they intervened on behalf of Donald Trump, Trump saying that's ridiculous, how do you look at that? And if there's truth in it, what does it mean on the legitimacy front?
Well, I think it's very, very disturbing, to say the least. You have a situation where, in my view, I think the evidence is overwhelming, and I think you have a number of Republicans who even accept it, that the Republicans played an active role in terms of trying to make sure that Clinton lost and Trump won. I don't think that's terribly much in dispute except from Mr. Trump. I think also there is widespread agreement politically that the intervention of Mr. Comey and the FBI into the campaign was clearly helpful to Mr. Trump. So I think you got that. That's the reality. But to my mind, it doesn't do a whole lot of good to be looking backwards. I think we got to look forward. And how we look forward, I think, is to understand, again, that on every major important issue, the American people are on our side. We can defeat Trump. We can stop his ugly initiatives. We can push forward some progressive initiatives if we are effective in organizing and mobilizing millions of people. I was recently selected to be the chair of the outreach effort for the Democratic senators, and I intend to do that aggressively. We intend to mobilize people all over this country. I think Trump is a bully, and I think when we stand up to him, we can be successful.
How does that mobilization affect what actually comes out of Washington in terms of law? I mean, you may have people in the streets, but you don't have majority in either House of Congress.
Because politicians, even Republican politicians, they may be right-wing, but they're not stupid. And if you mobilize people and expose them for what they are, look, Trump went around the country telling people he is not going to cut Social Security, Medicare, and Medicaid, and millions of people understand that, in fact, that turns out not to be the truth, that he is appointing people who will do just that. That puts pressure on them, and these guys are going to have to back off. That's how change takes place. When people stand up and Republicans look around them and say, oh, my God, there are millions of young people out there who want to make public colleges and universities tuition free. They want to deal with climate change. They are going to fight to protect women's rights and the LGBT community. When that type of pressure builds up, it is harder for the right wing to bring forward their agenda.
John Walsh, Bill Galston, stand by. We've got Senator Bernie Sanders with us and callers for you, Senator Sanders. Dennis in Arlington, Texas is on the line. Dennis, thanks for calling. You're on the air with Bernie Sanders.
Oh, thank you, Tom. I enjoy your show. I think you're a very great host. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And I just got a couple of statements I'd like to make. First of all, I'd like to say I'm a lifelong Democrat. I'm 59 years old. I'm a lifelong Democrat. But this year, I just could not vote for Ms. Clinton. And I'm hearing everybody saying the Russians hacked the elections. All the Russians and WikiLeaks did was expose the truth to Democrats like myself that really needed to hear it because we didn't get it from mainstream media. As far as Senator Sanders and the nominations that President-elect Trump are making, I think President Trump is doing the right thing for working-class America. I'm a truck driver, and I see the lack of jobs. I see the homeless every day on the streets. I see the community that are affected by the opioid problem because of depression and the lack of jobs, that people can't support their families. And I think that if we would have put the same people in cabinet as President Obama, who had the White House for 8 years, he really did nothing to help these people. We'd be in the same fix and it'd get another 4 to 8 years of the same thing with nothing getting done.
Dennis, hang on. Bernie Sanders, speak directly
Dennis,
to our truck
thank
driver.
Thank you very much for the call. And I think I disagree with Dennis. And I want to maybe discuss the issue with him. But he represents what millions of people actually feel, and he was very articulate in stating it. So let me just go through some facts.
Yep.
Dennis seems to think that Mr. Trump is going to represent the interests of working-class people. Dennis, I hope you are right, but I think you're not right. I think that Donald Trump will get out of the way and allow his Republican friends to cut Social Security, which will be a disaster for working-class families. Cut Medicare or privatize Medicare, make massive cuts in Medicaid. So, Dennis, if you think that it's going to be a help to working people to throw 20 million people off of health insurance and cut Medicare and Medicaid, I would strongly disagree with you. Dennis, you talked about, seeing joblessness, high unemployment rates. You're right. But it is not fair to say that Obama did nothing. When Obama came in, the unemployment rate was substantially higher than it is today. We were losing 800,000 jobs a month. If you want to say that he did not do enough, you also have to remember that he had tremendous Republican opposition all along the line. Obama was not a dictator. You can't snap your fingers and make things happen. So I think that's not accurate. But the main point to be made, Dennis, is pay careful attention to the promises that Trump made to working class people and what he is in fact proposed to do. Most Americans think we should raise the minimum wage to a living wage. I have not heard Donald Trump say one word about that after the election. So, Dennis, in all due respect, I'm not sure that your analysis is correct. I don't think that Donald Trump is going to be a friend of working families. Quite the opposite.
We'll see. Dennis, call back when you've got an opinion, when we get a little ways into that administration. More for you, Bernie Sanders. Nate in Coralville, Iowa. Nate, you're on the air.
Thank you, Tom. And thank you, Senator Sanders. I do agree fairly wholeheartedly with what you've said so far. The hypocrisy and nepotism that's been displayed already, not even after the inauguration, it says everything that needs to be said about what Donald Trump's priorities are, and his cabinet picks are simply insane. But what I'm interested in, particularly addressing to Senator Sanders, is the prospects for the utilization of Section 4 of the 25th Amendment, if there are any prospects for removing Trump from power.
Well, I don't think you talk about removing somebody from power before that person becomes even inaugurated. Look, there's no magical solution here. I mean, many people think, well, we do this, we do that. The guy was elected. We should also remember that he received almost 3 million votes less than Secretary Clinton. But for a small number of votes in battleground states, he would not be elected. But he was elected. So I think the answer is, I don't mean to be repetitious here, Tom, but the only way that we are effective in bringing about change or stopping bad things is when people mobilize and fight back. And politicians in Washington, you're right in what you said. Obviously, the Republicans control the House. They control the Senate. And they will control the White House. So there's no easy way. But the only way that I know that we are effective is when we mobilize people and we bring them together and tell Trump that we will not accept what will probably be the cornerstone of his administration, and that is trying to divide us up and deflect attention away from the real issues. And the real issues are, as seen in his cabinet, he's appointing billionaires and millionaires, moving us further and further along the line toward oligarchy. Rich get much richer, the middle class continues to shrink, we've got a whole lot of people living in poverty. We've got to stay focused on those issues. Why are we the only major country on earth not to guarantee health care to all people? We should not be throwing 20 million people off of health insurance. We should be moving forward with universal health insurance. We don't have paid family and medical leave. We have got to stay focused on the real issues impacting the middle class, working families, educate, organize effectively, and make sure that Trump cannot go forward with his ugly vision.
One more call for you, Bernie Sanders. Jan in Milford, Michigan. Jan, you're on with Senator Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Tom. My question is, you talk about organizing and mobilizing. Who do we contact? There's a lot of people out there, I'm sure, that feel the way you do, that we need to make a stand. I write to my representatives. I write to myself. But if I've got a Democrat already, it's like I'm preaching to the choir. How do I get mobilized and organized to help make a difference?
That's a fantastic, that's an excellent, excellent question. And we're going to have to do a better, for a thought, tentatively, I think we'll probably announce it in a day or two. There will be demonstrations all across this country on January 14th, specifically in opposition to Trump's administration's proposals to cut Medicare and Medicaid and to threaten Social Security. And they will be all over this country. So we will get more information out. You can go to my website. We'll have information on that as well. But I think as we go forward, it is absolutely imperative that we are communicating better with each other. And it's not just demonstrations. There are 100 ways that we can act. And we've got to be creative and we've got to be thoughtful. But the bottom line is, if we stand together, I think we can effectively take on his ugly ideas and continue the fight for progressive vision for this country.
Where do you see the first big test of whether you've got the horsepower to resist a Trump agenda, if that's what you set out to do?
Well, certainly the very first set of issues will be his nominations to key agencies.
And that coming right up. Senator Bernie Sanders, presidential candidate for the Democratic nomination, senator from Vermont, author of Our Revolution. Senator Sanders, thanks very much for being with us today.
My pleasure.